doing the whole 6010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, we say good Friday morning to you. Who are you?
Trent Krim.
Okay.
Independent.
Good to meet you. Field Yates here, a.k.a. Ted Lasso, here to hang out for the next 60 minutes. Let's go around the horn. Happy Halloween, everybody. Take a look at you right here. I managed to grow a mustache overnight. The most important thing that you can do today during this podcast is believe, my friends. You got to believe.
Right. Can you hear people that don't believe in themselves?
No.
I didn't think
literally so. Can't. Oh, my God. Look at you.
That's me. Trent Krim, the independent, here to ask all the tough questions.
Well, hello. I am Coach Beard, and reason is powerless in the expression of love.
I'm Rebecca.
Stefania looks so good.
Oh, my God. Stefania
so
looks
good.
So good.
And you know what I do.
So yes, good.
You
so for those
place.
Those listening, I have to do my Trent Krim voice.
It's almost like those, ASMR.
Yeah, it is. For those listening at home, you'll have to check out all of our Instagrams or the YouTube page or, of course, at Fantasy Focus on Twitter to see all of us in costume. I think all of us did a very good job. By the way, shout out to Mike Clay, who was Roy Kent yesterday.
Did a great job. By golly, did we have a good Thursday night football game last night. Should we get right into that?
Sounds good. I understand
the Arizona Cardinals are feeling bad about themselves for losing that game, but they put their heart and soul into that effort. 24-21, they come up on the short end against the Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Rodgers, that man, he may have a future in football. And I'm talking about the American side, well, not that stuff we do in the UK where we kick it with our feet. Packers win 24-21.
I think that was a joke.
That was amazing.
My mustache is falling off. I got to stop laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You'll get used to it in a little bit when you get older.
Recap. Aaron Rodgers throws for 184 yards, 15.7 fantasy points. He had three rushing yards. We call that 3 meters over in the UK as well. Rodgers, 15.7 fantasy points, Matthew. We'll see if I win that board bet between he and Kirk Cousins. If you were picking one side again, which would you pick?
I would still pick Kirk Cousins, 15.7 fantasy points. Credit to Rodgers for looking good and doing the best he could with what he had out there. Didn't have a ton. And then, you know, Bob Tonyan leaves with an injury as well in the middle of the game. They ran the ball effectively, though. That's what's important. And he got a win. People that bet against Rodgers in prime time often lose.
Very good point there. And in the Premier League, it is impossible to score 2 goals at once. But it's time for us to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And in life, they say everything comes in twos. That's really good. I think it might be threes, but you get the point I'm going for. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are a two-headed attack for the Green Bay Packers, Matthew. We wondered how Green Bay would account for not the loss of one or two, but 3 wide receivers last night. The answer ended up being Aaron Jones, who was just incredible last night. He had 7 catches, good for 24 fantasy points.
At least 4 catches in 4 straight games. It's his first. He's got 1 game with 4 catches in his first 4 of the season. So they're starting to use him more in the passing game, which is what we thought. Got into the end zone. Actually, I thought he got into the end zone a second time as well. But that was overturned. Ultimately, still really good game for him. What was important, though, is because the rushing split was between him and Dillon. They were basically even. A.J. Dillon gets 16 carries, very similar to what Aaron Jones did. But it was Aaron Jones's passing game usage in this particular game. He got 7 receptions on 11 targets, 51 yards. By the way, for those that did the player prop, he also hit the over.
Well done by Aaron Jones. A.J. Dillon ran real hard last night. 7.8 fantasy points, not exactly what you would expect with that kind of effort, but he really did put his heart and soul into it. Hey, pick every NFL matchup for a shot at prizes with Pigskin Pick'em presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or on the ESPN Fantasy app. We all wondered last night whether Randall Cobb would have a vintage performance. And right before the game, Aaron Rodgers went over to Randall Cobb and he said, Randall, I never stopped believing in you. That's why I traded for you. I traded for you. Let's be honest. I really did trade for you from the Houston Texans right before the season. And this was an amazing performance, Trent, because three catches, not so great. 15 yards, not so great. But two tutties for Randall Cobb.
Trent Krim, the Independent. Coach, do you think this is indicative of anything going forward with Randall Cobb, or just one of those situations where there was no one else, a trusted guy that he had in the red zone, but in terms of future fantasy production, once they get Lazard back, once they get MVS back, once they get Devontae Adams back, feels like Randall Cobb, is he a fantasy factor going forward?
You know, I think about some of the great one-hit wonders in the history of music, and some of them are famous forever because of that one song they made. And I wonder if Randall Cobb, who's been famous before, this is like his one-hit wonder for 2021. So I think this is much more of an aberration. That's a word I learned at the end of a lollipop stick recently. So big word by me. But yeah, aberration for Randall Cobb. I think Devontae Adams and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and that nice young man, Alan Lazard, come back and take most of his workup in week 9.
I agree with you. Thank you, Coach. Thank you.
Okay. It's time now for us to ask about some injuries, and you are much better equipped to ask about the injuries than I am.
Rebecca, Trent Krim, the Independent. Can you tell us about Bob Tonyan in this game?
What a disaster. No owner wants to see a player leave the field like that. Unfortunately, it looks quite serious.
That's no good right there. Coach Beard, have we had a chance to visit with Big Bob since he left the field last night?
You know, there was one game this season where I was accidentally on mushrooms. I feel really bad. We should probably talk about Robert Tonyan's injury, but like now that we've gotten this out of the way, let's do the injury thing real fast.
I mean,
I'm so sorry.
Or it was actually really sad. If watching that happen, what you saw was it looked like Bob Tonyan was going to ward off a defender, so he kind of slowed himself down, but his body momentum continued to carry him forward, and then he immediately rolled to the ground in significant pain, reached for his knee right away, ended up walking off the field, escorted by the medical staff, but you could tell that it was serious, and we wait further details.
Yeah, sounds like there's a chance that Big Bob Tonyan could miss significant time, if not the rest of the 2021 season. We'll address that when we have more information, Trent.
Trent Krim, the Independent. Coach, let's talk about Kyler Murray here. Mm. Disappointing performance for him last night. Aberration, short week, or are we starting to see some cracks, if you will, in his fantasy eliteness?
You know, there's this old saying that I often think about that, you know, even Superman forgets his cape every once in a while. We're all human, Matthew. Trent. See, I'm so human, I forgot your name right there.
That's all right.
And I called you a random name, Matthew, for some reason I can't even explain. But last night was much more of Superman forgetting his cape for one evening. And yes, DeAndre Hopkins left this game, and we'll ask Miss Rebecca about that in just a moment here. But Kyler Murray did not look himself last night. The Packers consistently generated pressure against him. And the rushing upside that we saw for the past couple of years, he was running fast. Like, I put him as a striker if I could put him on my team. We have not seen nearly as much of that this year.
Trent Krim, the Independent. Coach, this will be the fifth time in 6 weeks that Kyler Murray has finished as QB9 or worse after being the number one quarterback in fantasy through the first 2 weeks. Do we believe he gets back to that elite level, or is he just merely a very good fantasy quarterback but not a league winner that he was looking like after the first couple of weeks?
Either there's a nice man named Mike Tomlin who coaches in the Pittsburgh area for a local football team there, and he said to never say never, but never, as in I will never give up on Kyler Murray as a QB1 this year. I do believe there is unique upside, and while the numbers that you just laid out suggest something different, I'm still very confident that Kyler Murray is a top 6 fantasy quarterback for the rest of the season.
Duly noted. Thank you very much. Rebecca, Kyler Murray left this. There was concerns about Kyler Murray's hand after the game.
No, pay attention.
Oh, well.
He left in a walking boot.
Oh.
So it's not his hand. It's his leg.
Yeah, you can never trust the press. All right.
He left the stadium seen in a walking boot. He said he was good after the game, told reporters he was good. But on that last play, that attempted touchdown that he threw towards A.J. Green that ended up getting picked off, and that was the end of the game. He got rolled up on, stayed on the ground for a minute. It was hard to tell whether that was exasperation from the play or he was really injured. But again, left in a walking boot.
Kyler now dealing with a couple different things.
Right. Thursday night game, 10 games to prepare for next week.
Yep.
Coach, any expectation, concerns that he might miss next week? Doesn't sound like it.
Well, we've been really impressed with Colt McCoy and his reps during practice. Trent, we are going to continue with Kyler Murray as our starting quarterback going forward, provided he is fully healthy to play in week 9.
Okay.
A couple more items.
No quarterback controversy in Arizona. Got it. Making a note of that, coach.
Sir.
Thank you.
Not yet, sir. Chase Edmonds and James Conner continue to be a very productive backfield in fantasy football. Chase Edmonds found the end zone last night as a runner, the first time he has done that this season. That was good news. However, the bad news is that when the Cardinals get real close, I'm talking real close, the kind of close you are to like your best friend growing up, James Conner gets the ball at the goal line. He scored twice, Mr. Krim. He managed just 22 yards, but I don't care because he scored 2 touchdowns.
Sort of crazy to think about the fact that he scored 2 touchdowns and yet only had 14.2 fantasy points. Mm. It feels like a true committee here, but given the state of the running back position, I feel like both guys are usable, especially, by the way, as Kyler Murray has been less effective, still very good, but less effective. This was a nice game, I thought, for Kyler Murray, his second best game of the season for Chase Edmonds, 15.9 points. He does have 3 more catches in 7-8 games this season. Again, they're using him in the passing attack, but his upside will always be limited as long as James Conner is healthy, who has been exactly what Arizona wanted in the offseason, somebody who could finish at the goal line, something Kenyon Drake could not do.
One other question, or perhaps you know what? You're the one that asked the questions around here.
Sure.
If you could press Miss Rebecca on,
I would. DeAndre Hopkins.
Thank you.
He was a game time decision. Rebecca played, left, came back. What do we know about DeAndre Hopkins?
He's a competitor, and he wants to be out there, regardless. I have to break character here for a minute because there's too much to say. We talked yesterday about DeAndre Hopkins and said, you know, the best of DeAndre Hopkins is that he wants to play in every game. The worst of that is that he will push himself to play even when he's not 100%. And that both of those things showed up last night. So DeAndre Hopkins came in questionable, game time decision, did play, had a beautiful, beautiful 58-yard catch, which appeared that it was going to be the go for a touchdown, but got called back because of a penalty. But what he demonstrated on that play was why he's such an elite receiver, because he changed his speed. He slowed down deliberately to fool the defender, then blew by him to make the play. Unfortunately, that's exactly the kind of thing that will stress your hamstring. And immediately it affected him. And we didn't see him with about 8 minutes left in the first quarter. He then disappeared until there was about 8 minutes left in the third quarter. He was out of the game for half an hour. And the Cardinals didn't want him to come back in. Cliff Kingsbury afterward disappointed that DeAndre Hopkins put himself back in the game because of the risk that he presented to himself for a longer term injury. And that's what they're concerned about. He had only one more catch after that. So really just the one big play and then aggravated the hamstring. The fact that he was out there and could do what he did suggests the injury is not particularly serious. But I think this is the caution when DeAndre Hopkins comes into the game more hurt than you expect. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out great for fantasy purposes.
Right. Thank you. Trent Krim, the independent coach.
You mentioned
this. This is now the fourth game that DeAndre Hopkins has been wide receiver 30 or worse. He hasn't been a top 10 wide receiver since week 1. The Cardinals seem to have a lot of weapons, whether it's the two running backs, whether it's A.J. Green, whether it's Rondale Moore, who got a lot of touches last night, whether it's Christian Kirk. Is DeAndre Hopkins somebody you should try to sell based on name value, because the production based on everyone else around him isn't there?
DeAndre Hopkins meant a lot to our locker room for a long time. And by long time, I mean since the moment that we traded for him. And that being said, Mr. Krim, it's worth noting that in life, you are ultimately trying to maximize your value. And by that, I mean being smart with your trade decisions. And While it may be difficult right now, given his health situation, yes, sir, I would be looking to trade DeAndre Hopkins because, as you noted, he has not been the dominant force that he has been in previous seasons. He has also been extremely touchdown dependent up until this point, as he has 7 receiving touchdowns. That includes last night's game in which he barely played, and that is more receiving touchdowns than he had last season. So, yes, I believe that is a good idea.
Christian Kirk has 8.6 fantasy points, 4 catches on 6 targets for 46 yards. AJ Green, 5 catches on 8 targets for 50 yards. Zach Ertz now also in the mix, 4 catches, 4 targets, 42 yards. Felt like he could have gotten into the end zone. Unfortunately, did not. But feels like to me, from this reporter's point of view, that if you're going to start a Cardinals pass catcher, you just start them and you hope for the big games. But it's going to be this because they have so many mouths to feed. It was a tough game, short week. Packers played good defense. There's no question about that. But to me, it is either you're either starting them every week or you're not. To put it in your vernacular, coach, you either always hit on 7. You either always hit on 16 or you stay on 16. I don't think you try to figure out which is going to be a Christian Kirk game or an AJ Green game. You just either got to start them or not. Every week.
That's an excellent point you make right there. And anything else you'd like to ask about this game, Mr. Krim, before we move on?
No, the readers of the Independent are good with this game. It was a little snoozy.
We will get to the injuries in just one moment. And, Rebecca, you may need some sustenance. I left you a box of cookies and biscuits right there on your desk. Customary tradition for us here on the 06010. I suggest that you go ahead and start eating those right now because you're about to be a very busy man, a very busy woman.
Excuse me?
Sorry. My apologies. Trent, yes.
Yeah. Trent Krim, the Independent.
I heard.
Do you rent or own your home?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to tell me about it?
Yes, sure I do. And I tell you, it can be hard work, but you know, it's easy. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
I don't do accents other than one. So I'm not going to do an accent. This is going to be my normal voice. Join me, Matthew Berry, and Stefania Bell for a virtual live mailbag podcast where we'll be answering your Q&A questions. Save the date for Tuesday, November 2nd at 6 p.m. Eastern, when we'll hop on a Zoom for a virtual live show presented by our friends at Geico and Body Armor. Registration is required and space is limited, but the event is totally free and we'll spend the entire time answering the questions that you submit to us when you register. Register today at bit.ly/focus, 112. That's all lowercase, bit.ly/focus, and then the number is 112, like 11-2, November 2nd, get it?
I get it.
Good. That's great. Hope you'll join us next Tuesday, November 2nd at 6 p.m. Eastern for a virtual live mailbag show with me, Stefania, and Trent Krim, presented
Coach
by
Beer, Rebecca and Trent Krim.
By Geico and Body Armor.
All right, Rebecca. Trent Krim, the Independent. Rebecca, what do we know about Austin Ekeler, who just showed up on the injury report?
Yes,
you're not going to do an accent.
I'm not
please.
Going to.
Oh, thank
because
you so much.
We got to.
Too much.
I mean, just
with injuries. I just feel like it's too much.
Especially if they're going to be clipped. Okay, so. Starting now, Austin Ekeler shows up on the injury report with a hip issue. Now, the Chargers are coming off a bye, and Wednesday he was not listed on the injury report. So it makes you wonder what happened between Wednesday and Thursday, but there really hasn't been any detail offered from the team. So Friday becomes a big deal. There's zero information, but he did not practice at all.
Trent,
at least on your radar.
Isn't there some concern, though, off of the bye, not practicing for 2 days off of the bye? Like, I mean, feels like my red flags went up as a trained journalist.
It's a trained.
Trained journalist.
Well, that's just
I mean, I've watched two whole seasons.
That's why I said he was not listed on Wednesday. As a trained journalist, you should be listening.
Yeah. No, I was. I know you said he wasn't.
It's not 2 days of non-practicing. It's one.
Yeah.
Well, but he didn't. I mean, there was a day of rest. I looked at what the Chargers put out yesterday. I actually retweeted it, and it said basically, he just said injury, hip, and then Wednesday it was blank, and then Thursday did not practice.
Right.
So there was no designation for Wednesday, so.
Right.
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 Right. So just.
These, but the practice, are, he hasn't yes, practiced this
the
week,
the point
right?
is that Thursday is when we learned about the injury.
Yes,
so
no, obviously.
There's
he was
really
a full
no way to
gauge on Wednesday
it.
Right. with no injury. On Thursday, something cropped up. And we'll right. go back to our normal voices here for a little while. Thursday, something cropped up. We do not know the severity of it. The Chargers are obviously a West Coast team. They don't practice until much later in the day than some of the teams that are already on the practice field on the East Coast right now. Best recommendation here is two things. One, watch fantasy football now on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. And that will have the latest up-to-date information. But Matthew, let's also dive into what happens if Austin Ekeler sits. Because he is a bona fide rock star, your ride or die. Been very, 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 very strong call on that one so far this year. But the Chargers don't have a great backup option.
Yeah, I don't think they do. So Joshua Kelly has played the majority of the backup snaps to Ekeler the past two games. Now, again, they were on a bye last week. So in week 5 and 6, Kelly was the backup. Now, Justin Jackson missed most of week 5. I mean, he didn't play in week 5, I should say. So I think that even though Kelly operated as more of the backup to Ekeler than Jackson in week 6, my read on that was that it was sort of the fact that, like, Jackson had been hurt. It was his first game back due to injury. The truth is in that game, Joshua Kelly did nothing. None of the other running backs, whether it's Justin Jackson, Joshua Kelly, or Larry Roundtree, have done anything fairly effectively as a runner. Of those three, the best pass catcher is Justin Jackson. So I don't think that it's a one-for-one replacement where if Ekeler were out, you'd be like, oh, you got to pick up and start this guy. If I had to pick a Chargers running back that wasn't Austin Ekeler to play, I would go with Justin Jackson because of his passing game usage. I just don't think Josh Kelly hasn't been very good, candidly, this year.
Yeah.
Honestly, and it's been a very mixed bag since he's been drafted at last year. But I don't think it's a one-for-one. And then you think about the fact they're playing the Patriots, which is a top 10 run defense over the last 4 weeks. So,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great matchup either. I think it would be a big Justin Herbert, you know, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen game.
Right. We'll talk about this more on Sunday morning on Fantasy Football Now. For now, I'll take over the injury stuff and ask Stefania about Dak Prescott, who, again, coming off the bye, Stefania, there was optimism. And I'm paying real close attention to his words these days. How certain should we be that he's playing on Sunday night?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to do, Phil, because I think the details are in the words that he's saying or not saying. He's kind of speaking through filters, just so that everyone who may not have heard it gets the full picture. Basically, Dak has been listed as a limited participant in practice since he's been back. And as of Monday, everybody was really encouraged. Dak as well. And I think that Dak is making very good progress. And according to him, this is what he said. He went all out in practice earlier this week, not 75% because he needed to feel the full go. And he said, I did that. And he wants to play, but the team may hold him out. Dak even saying the decision is, quote, not fully up to him. Mike McCarthy referencing thresholds that Dak would need to pass in order to play. Dak later saying he wasn't sure what those thresholds were. Dak's been sticking primarily with individual reps other than in walkthroughs, getting some first team reps, but primarily those first team reps are going to Cooper Rush. And then just the comments from Dak about saying he understands, given that it's the same leg, he had the ankle injury, need to be cautious, long season. If it were the playoffs, he'd definitely be playing. I mean, everything you're hearing is sort of the apology leading up to potentially him not playing. So no official decision, but this feels to me like a situation where everybody wants to be extremely cautious because nobody wants to be doing the Monday morning quarterback thing of looking back and saying, well, gosh, what if we had just waited another week?
Yeah, no question about it. This is about the big picture here. Remember, he was literally helped off by a teammate. Zeke Elliott carried him off the field. That injury took place on the final play of overtime against the Patriots on the CeeDee Lamb walk-off touchdown. So we'll keep an eye on this one. I want to mention a couple of names, though, Matthew, for pivots, right?
Yeah.
And we early in the game
most
said,
obvious one.
And we this is why when we said get Kirk Cousins on your roster on Monday, you should be doing that. And he eventually got, I think, scooped up in enough leagues where he's not quite as available, but still a name to keep an eye on, as well as Trevor Lawrence and a couple who anybody else that comes to mind for you for potential streaming quarterback options?
Daniel Jones. Yeah, Google. You know, I mean, Monday, obviously, yeah. Daniel Jones, I like him quite a bit. If you're And I guess Trevor Lawrence made the hate list for me this week, you know, on the road at Seattle. But again, if you're starting like you're down in that area, look, I do think Jimmy Garoppolo could be okay.
Yep.
You know, as well. Like, again, you're sort of, it's, you know, it's a little dicey. But my favorite streamers this week would be Cousins and Daniel Jones, if they're available.
Cousins still available in 40% of ESPN leagues.
And Jones in about 55% of leagues, for what it's worth. And sometimes Vegas knows stuff that we just don't know. The line has moved dramatically in this game. The Cowboys were once 2.5-point favorites. Vikings now favored by 2.5 points. That's a big swing right there. 5 points is a lot. Now, obviously, depends on which book you're checking, but 5 points is a lot. And obviously, if Dak Prescott does not play, it's an uphill battle for the Cowboys to win that game. So, Stefania, let's go to Cleveland, where Baker Mayfield was out the last time these two teams played, this team played, I should say. What's it looking like for both he and Nick Chubb?
By the way, before we move on to Nick Chubb,
okay,
because it literally like popped up on my Twitter handle, and then it's been deleted, so never mind.
Okay.
Never mind. But it was just it was a Cowboys reporter. I won't call them out because but it was a Cowboys reporter that was actually, that covers the team day to day, that was echoing in essence Stefania's thoughts, which is that, you know, listen, the team wants to take a big picture, long season approach. The other thing you have to think is if you're Dallas and you're sitting there looking at the NFC East, Giants are a disaster. Philadelphia seems like they're lost, and my Washington football team also a disaster. Feel like you never want to quote take a game off, but
totally.
But you, of game, given how well Dallas has played this year, what their record is, what the rest of the division is, and the long-term health of their franchise, feels like being prudent is the right way to go here.
Also, like, there's only one bye available now. Like, it's hard enough to get that bye, even if your team, even if Dak plays every game this season.
Right.
So we'll see more information coming on this one, of course, on Sunday morning on Fantasy Football Now. So back to Stefania now. Let's round out where we were on the Cleveland Browns injuries. What can you tell us on all of those? Anything else pertinent to that situation?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb both remain limited in practice, and I think there's encouraging signs for both of them. Baker Mayfield has said all along that if he felt like he could help the team, and he could be at 100%, he would be the starter. And I think it's sort of trending that way. Nick Chubb, I think, has a really good chance to play. Kevin Stefanski, even a few weeks ago, sort of targeted the October 31st date as the date that Nick Chubb could likely return. A lot of people are wondering, what about Nick Chubb relative to D'Ernest Johnson? Because he obviously had such a good game in Thursday night when he played, when both Chubb and Hunt were out. And obviously, Hunt on IR, still going to be out for several weeks. I think he still has a role, because one of the things the Browns have clearly learned is that the toll has been taken on their running backs. And when you have someone like Chubb coming off a calf injury, the last thing you want to do is overload him. So I suspect that he will be active. It appears that way at this point, but I don't think he's going to be responsible for the entire workload. D'Ernest Johnson will still be involved.
Okay, so potentially some D'Ernest Johnson here, Matthew. I think that if Nick Chubb plays, the mindset's going to be pretty obvious. Nick Chubb plays, you probably have to play him.
I would agree.
But if we get consistent information with what Stefania just said, which is that, hey, he is playing, but we're not sure we can turn to him at 100%, like, D'Ernest Johnson could be like a deeper league flex consideration.
I look, this did not happen last year. Last year, when when there was time missed, Nick Chubb was the guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, D'Ernest Johnson came in, had that one good game last year, and then Kareem Hunt got hurt, and then it was all Nick Chubb, right? But I believe that, again, longer season, this is a team that has obviously playoff aspirations and postseason aspirations. I believe just D'Ernest Johnson played so well last week, and it's going to be a while before we see Kareem Hunt back, as Stefania has noted. My expectation here is that they need D'Ernest Johnson to take some of the load off, especially with Baker Mayfield less than 100%. Their passing game is inconsistent, to be kind. So I do think D'Ernest Johnson absolutely needs to be rostered, especially if you have Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt. But beyond that, I think he's a viable deeper league flex consideration. You wish it was a better matchup. They're playing the Steelers. That's always a hard-fought battle between those two teams. This week will be no exception, but D'Ernest Johnson, to me, has played well enough, and given what that offense is like, that they're going to need to use him. I think he has a close to Kareem Hunt role as long as Kareem Hunt is out.
Big opportunity for D'Ernest Johnson. It's just a great story. This is what the NFL is all about. A guy who was playing in the AAF who, I don't know that he gets his NFL shot if he does not star in the AAF like he did, even if that was a short-lived league.
He had like some real-life job too. Was it like some, like he was like...
It's pretty awesome.
I forget what it was.
Cool story. I don't usually care so much about those AFC Player of the Week and FedEx Player, like whatever. They're made for fans.
Right.
But pretty cool to see D'Ernest Johnson win FedEx Aaron Ground Player of the Week. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
that probably means
story.
A lot to him. Like, I'm sure Derrick Henry's won 19 of those, and it's kind of like, cool, right?
Right. He walks in, throws them on the shelf, right, whatever.
Another
right.
one, right?
Yeah, another one. Hands them out like trick-or-treat candy to the kids. But yeah, for D'Ernest Johnson, who
cool
was
moment.
Undrafted out of college, had a real job,
yeah.
You know, got into the AAF, managed to star in the AAF. Orlando Apollos for life, baby.
Go.
Anyway, good for D'Ernest Johnson.
Yep. Let's keep things moving here. We got a bunch of injuries to cover. Stefan, let's go to Jerry Jeudy, who the good news is he looks to be headed back to the field this weekend.
He does, you know, coming off this high ankle sprain on IR. I think the takeaways for me, you always are a little nervous when somebody's coming back from this injury and their productivity does typically drop in the first game back. That being said, they've been pretty conservative with Jeudy, and yet he is still looking in practice really good, moving very well on that ankle. So I think this is always a case where they monitor them in the first game back, because as a receiver, the way you have to stop and pivot, rotate, twist on that ankle, those are going to be the things that stress it. But as of right now, everyone in Denver very encouraged by how Jerry Jeudy looks.
Okay, that is good news right there. He's such a talented player. We saw the breakout in week one. It was stunted by, of course, that injury against the New York Giants. Matthew, I'm cranking him right back up. Like, I remember right when the injury took place that I was concerned that, like, it's a route runner ankle injury. I wonder if the first week back I'll trust him. Maybe, and I really shouldn't do this. I should always defer to Stefania's his instincts here, not my own. It's been so long. It's been 8 weeks, right? Part of me is like, he's been practicing for 2 full weeks. This wasn't like return to practice Wednesday and play Sunday. I'm confidently starting him, and also because the matchup is just so good.
It's a great matchup against Washington. They're going to throw. They're going to throw all over him. And so to the extent that you were starting Jeudy before, like in week one, like, yes. I would agree as well. You and I both have him as a top 30 play this week. I'm at 26. You have him at 24. We both have him right there as a mid-tier wide receiver three. With upside. We joke about wide receiver threes with upside, but Jerry Jeudy is literally the definition of that this week.
A wide receiver heading in the wrong direction, Stefania's Antonio Brown, has been spotted on crutches. This one sounds like it could be a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange, right? Because we didn't hear anything initially that there was any problem, but then you see him on crutches, non-weight bearing. It certainly doesn't sound like someone who's going to play this week. The fact that he hasn't practiced at all, I mean, I'm planning on Antonio Brown being out.
Wouldn't surprise me if he goes to IR as well. The Bucs have a bye week next week, so maybe they can get away with not putting him on IR, but something to keep an eye on today or tomorrow. Matthew, you and I talked about this.
It seems more serious. Initially, when it cropped up, we were like, oh, now it is seeming more and more serious. So we'll see. But you're not having this week or next week.
No Antonio Brown. Mike Evans probably going to get shadowed by Marshawn Lattimore. This feels like a Godwin week.
1,000%. He made the love list for that exact reason as well. He actually leads the team in red zone targets. I mean, I think he has more than any other two players combined. He's one of the NFL leaders in, I believe he's top three in the NFL in terms of red zone targets as well. So, yeah, I think this is a big Chris Godwin week. But by the way, I think Buccaneers getting Rob Gronkowski back as well, which would be helpful as well.
They are expected to have Gronk back, which is good news, obviously, for not just the Bucs, but for those of us that have been trying to figure out a way to get by with like four available tight ends over the past couple of weeks. As always, tight ends a very limited spot here in fantasy football. Let's go back to Stefania for a couple of Giants updates. And this one's tricky because they play on Monday night. What's the early read, though, on basically every skill guy they have?
Yeah, I'm taking a lot from what Jordan Ronan is seeing in practice, because that's really all we have to go by. So I have to look at my notes because there's so many players that I can't keep track. But Saquon Barkley and Kadarius Toney and Kenny Galladay working on the side, not practicing. He does not believe, Jordan does not believe that they have a real shot to play. Thursday was a padded practice, so that's a heavier day. And good sign that Sterling Shepard was participating even on a limited basis for his part. Shepard said he is, quote, super confident that he will play. Just had a little tweak late last week. So he and Evan Engram both looking like they'll be available for Monday night. But as you point out, Thursday, just the first practice report officially, so stay tuned.
All right, so be patient with Saquon and probably Kadarius as well, Matt. Probably crank up Sterling Shepard. It's a good matchup. He's been really good this year. His target share is absolutely absurd. A little surprised the Giants didn't go down the IR route with Saquon Barkley, but a reminder that sometimes teams just don't know how long it's going to be. So rather than placing a player on IR, which means he'll miss at least three games, you're hopeful he might return within 3 weeks. That has not been the case for the New York Giants. It seems like it will not be the case on Monday night. Deebo Samuel, Stefania, I know a little bit of a scare on Wednesday, but sounds like pretty good news for the 49ers star receiver.
Yeah, back in uniform, out doing some work, listed as limited on Thursday, but certainly that's an improvement over not participating at all. Kyle Shanahan was always pretty optimistic about Deebo's status, so I think at this point, they're encouraged as well.
How about their backup quarterback, Trey Lance? Think he'll have a chance to be back on the field in some capacity on Sunday?
I think there's a chance. You know, they've already made it clear that Jimmy G remains the starter, but Trey Lance out doing more work coming off that sprained knee, as you recall. So, you know, they always had packages for him, even when he was not the starter. So Right. There's a chance that he will be available in that capacity.
Jimmy G goes home to Chicago. Trey Lance may or may not be available. Big game for both of those teams. Let's go to a couple of veterans who've been banged up or who were banged up in recent games. T.Y. Hilton and also Jonnu Smith, Stefania.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton dealing with a quad strain that wasn't serious, but again, this is a guy who's coming off of a procedure that he had that kept him on IR to start the season. So they're going to be cautious with him and just with his age. And Jonnu Smith also banged up, and it looks like Hunter Henry has definitely got the advantage over Jonnu Smith.
It sounds like Jonnu Smith's got a pretty good chance to play on Sunday. Good news was he was back practicing during full pads practice on Wednesday. He's been limited, but Right. Sometimes team will just, if a guy's in bad, bad shape, you might hold off entirely. One more note to pass along here. Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, noted that Corey Davis, their top wide receiver this year, not looking good for Sunday after he suffered a hip injury in practice on Thursday. The Jets are very thin at wide receiver. It appears they will get that much thinner.
And by the way, Mike White will start at quarterback for the Jets this week. So no Joe Flacco. It will be Mike White. But, you know, maybe, again, if you're desperate, Jamison Crowder, again, backup quarterback, slot wide receiver, a lot of targets to go around, obviously, because to your point, no Corey Davis. Last thing here, just this popped up real quickly, just to reiterate again what Stefania said, because I think this is a massive story along with Austin Eckler. But Michael Gelkin, who covers the Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, friend of ours, you know, does a great job. Anyway, he tweeted this just a couple minutes ago. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott calf was sore today after ramping up intensity in Thursday's practice, Coach Mike McCarthy said. On decision ahead about Sunday status, quote, this is from McCarthy now. It's more than just one game. We're obviously in our seventh game, so there's a ton of football left to play. So really sounds like reading between the leagues, right?
Yeah. They've been setting this up for a couple days.
It doesn't sound like he's going to play. In terms of the pass catchers field, just real quickly, let's spin this forward for a second.
Yeah.
I think you still have to start CeeDee Lamb.
And I think Dalton Schultz
you're still starting,
well.
And Dalton Schultz, just given the tight end position, you're obviously starting Ezekiel Elliott. But Amari Cooper becomes more of a conversation, I think.
I was already a little bit down on Cooper. I know we had the conversation earlier this week, just the inconsistency. Yeah. Now, you know, here's the reality is that if you have this reminds me of the conversation we were having a couple of days ago on Aaron Rodgers, is that like, I think there's probably room for one of these two pass catchers, one of these two wide receivers to go off. I think CeeDee Lamb has a better chance of going off. So I don't know that like, if I had both of those players on my roster, which I know is not super common, but if I did, I would be choosing just one or the other and definitely choosing CeeDee Lamb. I think I'd probably still have to start them because I think one of them is bound to have a good enough fantasy day. But I get the hesitation here. Like if you have Amari Cooper and you've got three other comparable options at flex or for your wide receiver plus flex spots, like I think I'd be looking to fade.
I have this exact decision. So in the Stephen A. Smith Celebrity League that I'm playing in, I'm actually playing Stephen A. this week.
Oh man.
Right. And so it would be really great. And I went with It's a 10-team league. It's a 10-team one quarterback league. And so I went with a Cowboy stack. I have Dak Prescott as my quarterback. I have CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper.
Wow.
So I just that's how the draft sort of fell to me.
Double
and
stack.
And I was really right. And I was really looking forward to beating Stephen A with the Cowboys. Right. I mean, just you know, if you followed Stephen A on air.
You love seeing the Cowboys lose.
Yes, exactly. So it would just be fun to beat Stephen A in fantasy football and using the Cowboys to do so. That said, I do have Kirk Cousins. I picked up Kirk Cousins in that game. I'm sorry, in that league. So I have that. I also have Mike Williams on that team. I have Mike Williams, and so I'm going to start Mike Williams over Amari Cooper.
But that's a good problem to have. Yeah.
Well, it's exactly. I drafted well in that league, and so you know, the other thing though is like my running backs in that league are, you know, Eckler is my number one, and so if he's not there, I'm going to have to start, I think, Antonio Gibson.
You know what you should do?
What's that?
Is you should just pick up like a retired Cowboys running back who doesn't even play anymore and just play him so you can still beat Stephen A with a retired Cowboys running back right in your lineup. That would be good right there.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to come back.
Where are you at, DeMarco Murray?
Let's go.
Trying to think of other obscure Cowboys running backs. Who is
Marion Barber III, baby.
Oh, Marion Barber
III.
That's it. Marion the Barbarian. How could I forget him?
Let's come back in a moment and discuss some sort of cherry-picking player options for this week. Before we do that, support for this podcast and the following message comes from Supercuts. Hair, it always has a way of growing back faster than we want it to. And somehow it can feel like we need more haircuts than we have time for. Luckily, Supercuts is here to make grabbing a haircut easy. Supercuts is here for you if you're someone who needs a haircut, but doesn't think they have time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons with availability. You can use the Supercuts app to find the location nearest to you and check in or just walk in. Another bonus, the salon shows estimated wait time so you know exactly what you're in for. As for the cut itself, it's always a super solid, thanks to Supercut's highly trained super stylist. Get in, get out, and get on to that thing that you needed the haircut for. Whether you've got a first date or a vacation coming up or you just want to look good, Supercut's makes getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercut's. Check in now on the Supercut's app or on supercuts.com.
So good.
It's getting spooky in here, and we love it. Time for a little game of cherry picking, and we've got these players that play in bad offenses, but can we trust them this week? And we know that trust is a strong word. We're going to talk about Brandon Cooks in a second. Before we do that, Stefania, I want to know about who we think will be playing quarterback on Sunday.
Yes, it will be Davis Mills. Officially, Adam Schefter reporting that Davis Mills is going to start. Tyrod Taylor has been working back into practice, and David Culley had said that they would ease him back in. He's been on injured reserve with a hamstring injury, of course, and I think easing back in is exactly the plan. And that's why, even though it's just been a couple of days that he's been around practice, so not quite ready to start yet.
Okay, sounds like it'll be another week of Davis Mills under center for Houston. And Matthew, here's the good news. Brandon Cooks has the fourth highest target share in the NFL behind only Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, and Deebo Samuel, but he has not been a top 40 wide receiver in three of the past 4 weeks. They just can't score. They just cannot score touchdowns. And they play the Rams on Sunday. You're down on Brandon Cooks, and I kind of get it.
Yeah, he made the hate list.
Oh.
He made the hate list this week again. The Texans literally have not scored a offensive touchdown in three of the last four games. You know, I mean, Davis Mills is a rookie, and teams are saying, like, we'll let any of these other randos beat us before we let Brandon Cooks. And so he, unfortunately, the massive target share he was getting at the beginning of the year and being productive with Tyrod Taylor under center has not been as effective recently with Davis Mills. Some of that is obviously driven by matchups, but you'd expect Jalen Ramsey to see, you know, to be on him at least somewhat. You know, in this game, like, it's a tough defense against the Rams. You don't like the matchup here. To me, Brandon Cooks, you know, I am significantly lower than consensus. I am at wide receiver 29. So I am as a low-end wide receiver 3 this week.
It's tough. Again, he reacted emotionally on Twitter to the recent trade of Mark Ingram to the New Orleans Saints. We'll see whether Brandon Cooks is traded before Tuesday. He's an interesting name to keep in mind because if he went somewhere else, certainly his fantasy value would go up as well. Matthew, I think I kind of begrudgingly have Chuba Hubbard inside my top 20 for running backs. The good news is he's getting most of the running back rushes and touches in total. The bad news is he's not doing much with those. His yards per carry has gone down over each of the past 5 weeks, all the way down to 2.3 yards per carry last week. Are you more confident?
Confidence is a strong word. Not it as strong is. A word as trust, but it's a strong word. Look, I'm as still as a top 20 play. Like, I like the workload, right? I mean, he's had three straight weeks of over 80% of the Panthers running back touches. Now, that offense as a whole has been struggling. There's no question about that. But you like the matchup with the Falcons, right, who are top nine in the NFL in terms of most yards per carry before contact to running backs. Like, they're just not getting to the running back defensively. And so I do think you can run on Atlanta. It was so Myles Gaskin have a good game against them, of all people. I mean, right? You know, so again, do I trust him? Am I confident? I wouldn't say those things, but given the state of the running back position these days, I have him as a borderline top 20 play.
One more here for running backs before we get to our captain sub of the week is Myles Gaskin. You just mentioned Matthew, who had a good game against Atlanta. He's been a little bit better of late. Malcolm Brown's been placed on IR. They played the Bills on Sunday. The last time they played, they got absolutely smoked. It was 35-0. That was still Jacoby Brissett under center. Perhaps this is me just trying to will it into existence, but I'm starting to grow a little more confident in Myles Gaskin. Not a ton, but a little bit more.
He's their best pass-catching running back, and they are the pass-heaviest team in the NFL. We expect them to have to pass against the Buffalo Bills.
Correct,
so you sit there and you look around, like, again, we'll see if Devontae Parker plays in this game, but we don't expect Will Fuller to play in this one. So it's really, it's Jalen Waddle, it's Mike Gesicki, and it's Myles Gaskin for the pass-heaviest team in the NFL. So, yeah, there's certainly risk involved. No Malcolm Brown there means Gaskin gets some more run. They are using Savon Ahmed some, but I have Gaskin as a high-end flex play this week.
I just wanted to ask a football question, understanding that Brian Flores said that it looks like Tua will be their starting quarterback barring injury. Obviously, there's been Deshaun Watson speculation, blah, 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 blah. Is there anything from this that it's like, are we done? Do you think field at this point? Is there anything that we know about from this point? Are we still just sort of waiting until we get to the end of the trade deadline?
We'll be talking at 4:01 Eastern time, Daniel. At that point, we'll be done. Until that point comes, I just can't put that possibility behind us. I think there's a chance that they make a last second maneuver for Deshaun Watson. I also think it's possible Deshaun Watson stays. I think the more likely outcome is he stays in Houston through the trade deadline, but until 4:01 Eastern time, like, I wouldn't be buying stock in the idea that Tua is definitely the starter barring injury the rest of the season.
So understanding this is probably a low number of roster ship percentages, but if you did pick up Deshaun Watson as a part of, hey, maybe he gets traded and he's got a ton of value, once the trade deadline passes and he's still in the Texans, he's basically just droppable at that point for someone else, right?
Again, far as redraft is concerned, you can pass on Deshaun Watson for the rest of the season.
Okay.
I'm going to leave it there with Deshaun and fantasy for right now. I think it's the more appropriate thing to do, but yes, he can be dropped after the trade deadline. Time now for the captain sub of the week, which is Khalil Herbert. Bench boring drinks and sub in the captain on game day. Captain Morgan, the official spice rum of the NFL. Number 16 on my board, Matthew. Number 19 on your board for running backs. There's only one thing that concerns with Khalil Herbert. It's just the idea that Damian Williams last week had just one practice, not even a practice, before he was activated from the COVID-19 list. He did not hardly play at all last week. He had just 11 snaps. Maybe it's a little bit more even, but if you're the Bears right now and you can hang your hat on like nothing offensively other than Khalil Herbert, wouldn't you want to continue to utilize the one player that's made you look good so far this season on offense?
A good running game also takes pressure off the passing game, right? And so there's so much attention on the passing challenges of the Bears offense on Justin Fields. Khalil Herbert's a great story for them and for fantasy. That's the only question, is how much work does Damian Williams get? But you're looking at a guy in Herbert who's had, 18, 21, 23 touches the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Even in the game in which Damian Williams, like the first game post David Montgomery, Herbert got an even carry the same amount of work basically that Williams did. Williams got a little bit more passing game work and he scored the touchdown in that game, but like, it's not like Herbert was only getting like five carries and it was a true committee. So the worst case scenario is that Herbert's in a committee with Damian Williams, but based on what we saw last week and what Herbert has done over the last 3 weeks, my expectation here is that it's 65-70 to 35-30 for Williams.
Right.
Like, I would not start Damian Williams this week. I do think Khalil Herbert is a viable top 20 play this week.
Agreed on that. Stefania, before we talk about Alex Collins' fantasy outlook, what do you know about his health status as he was banged up, or he has been banged up for the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, and he played in their Monday night game, and it, remember, it was questionable. It was coming down to a game-time decision. He had what Pete Carroll had originally referred to as a hip and a glute injury, labeled on the injury report as a groin issue. But he came in, and I thought he looked okay when he was running. They were playing a tough run defense, so nobody looked great running the ball in terms of productivity, but I thought he moved well. He was in practice on Wednesday, so that's a very good sign 2 days later, even though it was limited. Now, he didn't practice on Thursday, and I think people see that as a red flag, but it could be precautionary as well. It could be just a day off for him to ensure that he's available this weekend. So obviously Friday, a big day. I'm not as alarmed by his absence Thursday because we didn't have any context around it to suggest that he went south.
All right, well, if something changes and he looks less likely to play, we'll of course have that on Fantasy Football Now. A couple of other, or by the way, Matthew, you and I both have him as like a reasonable flex play. I think the upside for Alex Collins is all that work. The problem right now is that A, all the rushing has come at the cost of his good pass catching ability, and B, they're not moving the football right now. Now it's Jacksonville, so they certainly could.
Right.
It could be a fix-me game come Sunday afternoon against the Jaguars, and definitely a must-win for Seattle. But hard to have them ranked decidedly higher than that with so little opportunities for them to pound it into the end zone.
They've just been bad offensively. Understand, they've played the Steelers, and why am I blanking on who they just lost to?
Saints,
thank you. Right. They lost the Steelers and the Saints.
A memorizer.
No, yeah, exactly. I without my notes. And so anyway, like, you know, Jacksonville is a decidedly better matchup than either of those two games. But, you know, if you're Jacksonville, aren't you sort of saying, like, we'll take our chance with Geno. We're going to load the box. And
probably.
The other thing is, it's second game back for Rashad Penny. How much work does he get? DJ Jallis, Travis Homer. One of the pro Alex Collins arguments is, he's going to get a massive workload.
Right.
And I still, again, if I'm starting a Seahawks running back, that's the guy, and I don't think it's particularly close. But do I think Rashad Penny, do I think the other running backs could combine for 10 touches in this game? Sure.
Yeah.
And so then you're hoping Collins gets in the end zone. He is a high upside flex or a low-end RB2 this week, but he's not without risk.
Let's talk about Marvin Jones here for a second. Matthew, you've got him inside your top 25 for wide receivers. Another good matchup here. I think the thing with Marv is, like, I don't know that the outlook has changed that much week to week, right? Like, he's had plenty of work. The opportunities have been okay for the most part. The matchups have been okay for the most part. Are you concerned at all about Marvin Jones, or you sort of feel like he's kind of just status quo, like he's your flex. He sits right there every single week when he's playing.
Started hot, fell off. But I'm sort of feeling like I always like rookie quarterbacks coming out of a bye, right? The theory here being that in essence, you know, they've got a week now to sort of like, okay, they've had some experience in the NFL. They've sort of, you know, the speed of the game has caught up to them a little bit. And so try to get back to basics. I always feel like rookie quarterbacks, this is anecdotal, but I just feel like rookie quarterbacks tend to be a little bit better after their bye week. And certainly as the season goes along, more, you know, we saw Trevor Lawrence playing better prior to the bye. The last couple of games before the bye, he was improving. Now, Lawrence made the hate list for me this week just because, first off, because I have to pick a quarterback. Like, it's so hard to pick quarterbacks on the hate list. I do. I'm just being honest.
Yeah,
right?
No, I agree.
But anyway, so Lawrence made the hate list just because a rookie quarterback playing at Seattle, that's a tough place to play, probably the toughest place to play in the NFL and in a must-win game for the Seahawks. Having said that, though, like when you're under pressure like that, you're looking for that veteran guy. There's, you know, obviously I get the upside of Laviska Shenault, but veteran guy in Marvin Jones off of the bye week should be a lot fresher. My expectation here is that Lawrence will be looking for Jones early and often. I think he's a viable wide receiver 3 this week.
Let's get to a few examples of Love Hate, which is now available, of course, on ESPN Plus. That's correct, right? It's up.
Yeah.
For some reason I missed it yesterday, my bad. Let's get to some love hates for this week. Matthew and Daryl Henderson locked into your lineups this week. He's been awesome, and they play a Houston team that right now is at a crossroads. They cannot do much defensively or offensively. They're a little friskier on defense, but still a great matchup here for Henderson.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just put him on there just because I know there were some people that like, oh, well, he had a great matchup last week against the Lions and didn't do anything. But look, the volume's been there, right? He's had at least 18 touches in 4 straight games. Last week was his first game ever without with lower than 15 fantasy points per game. He's also, over that stretch of the last four games, he's getting at least four targets a game, so they're looking for him in the passing attack. And by the way, only one team in the NFL allows more rushing yards per game to opposing running backs than the Houston Texans. They also give up 5.2 yards per carry here. I think Darrell Henderson has a big game here and is a very viable RB1.
Let's get to the hate this week amongst running backs, Matthew. And this one kind of surprised me, but I get it given the matchup. Leonard Fournette.
Look, love-hate is all about expectations. And so I always, again, I've said this many times, but like, you know, if I thought about it for more than 3 minutes in 1999 when I was coming up with the title of the column, like I might have thought, like, it never occurred to me that, like, you know, it was just like it was just a dumb title name for a column. And then, you know, never thinking that one day I would literally be on the largest sports media network in the world that's watched by a bunch of people, including athletes, and they would you would see things that say like the word hate and a player's name next to it. So it's like, you know what I mean? But love hate is all about expectations. And so Leonard Fournette, who's been fantastic recently, right? I think you should lower expectations for him this week. Now I still am as a top 20 play. I still am as somebody
14,
that you're starting, right?
Both you and I.
But the expectation here is that I think he struggles. I think he does not have nearly the success he's had recently against the Saints defense that allows 2.8 yards per carry to opposing running backs. That's the lowest in the NFL. No running back has had more than 72 rushing yards against the Saints so far this season. In fact, only three running backs have even had 45 total yards against New Orleans this year. That's Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Antonio Gibson. You can decide whether you think Leonard Fournette is in that class or not. Now, he's involved in the passing game. We talked about the fact no Antonio Brown. We expect Marshon Lattimore to be all over Mike Evans, so maybe there's some more additional passing game work for Leonard Fournette. Again, I have him as a top 20 play, but I'm lowering expectations for him in this one. I think this is going to be his worst game that we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Since he basically became the starter for Tampa.
He's a really hard one because you could easily see him getting five catches. You could easily see him getting at least one rushing touchdown, which might be enough to like sort of meet that expectation.
1,000% on both things, yep.
But still, it's a bad matchup. I get it. Like New Orleans has been sort of an eraser of opposing running backs for much of the past 2 years. By the way, they get David Onyemata back, one of their best run stuffers at defensive tackle. He has served a 6-game suspension. Let's do a confidence check of players coming back from their bye. And Matthew, Zach Moss makes the love list this week.
Look, Bills are a 14-point favorite, right? I mean, this is a game that we expect Buffalo to do well in. And Moss has at least 12 fantasy points in every Buffalo win that he's played in. When they win, they run the ball. They run the ball effectively, and they usually do it with Zach Moss here. Good matchup with the Dolphins, by the way, who are tied for the second most rushing touchdowns allowed to opposing running backs. I don't want to, first off, I think it would freak people out if I used the Foghorn Leghorn voice while dressed as Trent Grimm. It's a lot going.
Do it. Just do it.
I'm not going to.
I think
there's a very good chance. Very, very good chance that Zach Moss scores a touchdown this week.
Which means if he falls like a yard short of the end zone on a carry, you're basically right.
Right.
There's a very good chance. Not a guarantee, but a very good
chance. I'm not guaranteeing. I want to save that bullet for special occasions, but I feel very confident that he gets into the end zone, but I'm not going to guarantee it. I think it's highly likely, though.
Okay, highly likely. Let's jump ahead to Chase Claypool. But before we can ask Matthew about his outlook, Stefania, how is he health-wise?
Well, he jumped up to full participation on Thursday, coming with a hamstring issue. So I think that's a very good sign. You know, unless there's something unexpected today that we find out he had a setback after doing that, I think he's making progress. So.
That's
looks good
news right there. Matthew, of course, no Juju Smith-Schuster for the rest of the season. We hope for sort of a funneling of targets to both Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool. How are you feeling about Chase in this matchup against Cleveland?
You know what? I don't have a ton of confidence in the Steelers' passing offense. You know, like, I mean, Deontay Johnson and Najee Harris are the only two must-starts for me every week for Pittsburgh, right? Mm-hmm. So then you start getting into what are their other options. I have Chase Claypool, wide receiver 31. Here are the positives, right? He's had 7 or more targets in 3 of the last 4. They're like they're looking for him. But this feels like, again, Cleveland-Pittsburgh is one of those throw out the records, throw out the lines, whatever. That is usually, not always. I mean, certainly the playoff game last year was exciting, but that feels like that is usually like a low-scoring slugfest, a typical kind of, you know, AFC North, yeah. You know, like what Boomer would call like an AFC Norris division, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just feels like a low-scoring game, two good defenses. Chase Claypool is a boom bust wide receiver three, right? You know, he's one of those guys that all he needs is one, but do I feel super confident in starting him? No, I wouldn't say I feel super confident. It's hard to have a lot of confidence in anything in Pittsburgh outside of Harris or Deontay Johnson.
Daniel Dobb, what do you got?
So I just really quickly, I think it's a great time to be able to end the show where I've been a lot of fun, been having a lot of fun being able to do this Halloween theme with you guys, specifically because I love Ted Lasso. I know we all do, but I love what Ted Lasso stands for, and I just wanted to take 30 seconds to say. I took a couple days off earlier this week to be able just to take some time away, and I wanted to say to everybody else that listens, and Ted Lasso is so positive and full of love. It's a show that we all love to watch. But I just wanted to say to everybody, like, listen, I want to encourage you to be able to take time for yourself and realize how important you are. It's okay to be able to not just be a work machine. You are a living, breathing human with emotions and things going on in life, and it's okay to be able to take a minute and to say, I need to take a day for myself so that I can be the best person that I can be for me, so that you can be the best person that you can be for your partner and your family and for work and all your friends. So there's nothing wrong with taking a couple days, being able to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take a quick break. Want to clear my head for a little while. And I just want to encourage all you guys to be able to do that. I feel like that's a big Ted Lasso thing, just loving each other and being able to be honest with everyone. So I just want to give you guys that. It's hard for me to take days off. I don't like doing it. I know none of us do, but you have permission to let yourself be important because you are important.
That's one of the lessons of that show is believing in yourself and overlooking people's flaws and, mm-hmm. and seeing and rooting for the best in everyone. And so, and forgiveness, by the way, I think a big theme of that show is forgiveness of other people and forgiveness of yourself. And so I would agree with that and echo those sentiments, Daniel. Well said.
Daniel, really well said, man. I'm not sure how to pivot from there other than to say we all love you back. We are so happy to have you back, and we hope everybody has a wonderful and safe Halloween on Sunday. We will talk to you during Fantasy Football Now for all the latest for Matthew and Stefania and Daniel and the entire cast of Ted Lasso. I am Field. We'll talk to you guys again on Monday.
Much love. Peace out.
Not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dobb.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.